Hello, my name is Finn Leslaw, and welcome to this new podcast on URN, Keeping Tracks. Today we'll be keeping tracks with Ellie Mitchell, who will jump into a zombie apocalypse where she'll be stranded in Trent Building with limited resources. Ellie, welcome. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm very excited to be here. I've actually been looking forward to this for ages.
As a community officer, your role revolves around people. So in a world of a zombie apocalypse where you'll be the only living person around, how will you cope?
How would I cope? Actually, this pretty much happened to me yesterday because it was snowing loads and I went to my Russian lesson in Trent Building for 2 hours and I came outside and the snow was like huge. There was so much snow and the buses were cancelled and I tried to get an Uber and it was going to be 20 quid to Lenton. So I basically was stranding the Trent Building. I thought I'd have to do a sleepover in the office. So I think I'd be quite good at it, actually.
So you've already had a little bit of practice. You've obviously chosen some songs and books to keep you company. As a person, do you feel like you need company to be happy?
That's so deep.
It is a little bit, isn't it? A little bit.
Do you need company to be happy? I think definitely. Isn't there a book about a guy that gets stranded on a desert island and he just goes crazy because he doesn't speak to anyone?
Is that Robinson Crusoe?
Yeah, we did it in English. I think I'd definitely go a bit crazy if I was in the Trent Building. And especially because it's the building that I work in every day. It would be like a weird afterlife.
You say that being alone is kind of daunting to you. Do you think you try and make friends with the zombies? How would you go about that?
I think I need a bit more context on what the zombies are. Like, are they flesh eating or like, what are the zombies?
I think every zombie's different, to be honest. I'm not entirely sure which ones will be more disposed to eating or to chilling or to listening to music.
I think I'll do the same thing as in, what film is it, with Simon Pegg and thingy?
Shaun of the Dead.
I'll literally just go to Mooch, have a cold one and wait for it to all blow over, to be honest.
Right, Ellie, it's time for your first song. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so this is like probably one of my earliest memories is my dad singing this song all the time because he basically had a CD that was called like 101 Football Bangers and it was the only CD he had in his car, so he'd just play it over and over again and me and my sister loved it. So yeah, it's like my childhood pick.
And this is Three Lions, Football's Coming Home.
We're not creative enough, we're not positive enough.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming home.
We'll go on getting back, as I'm getting back, as I'm getting back, as I'm getting back.
It's coming, football's coming home, it's coming.
So sure that England's gonna throw it away, gonna blow it away, but I know they can play, cause I remember three lads on a shirt, jewels remain still gleaming, 30 years of hurt, never stop me dreaming.
So many jokes, so
Bobby Belt in the ball,
and they'll be dancing.
Three lads on a shirt, jewels remain still gleaming. 30 years of hurt, never stop me dreaming.
And that was Three Lions, Football Is Coming Home. Ellie, as a community officer, many consider you to be a local hero. So who was your hero growing up?
Wow. Okay. I think hero's a bit strong. Local hero. I don't think I'm a local hero. Disclaimer. Hero growing up. I don't know. I'd say in the last few years, when I was running for community officer, it was like fun fact, put your famous person, and I put Gemma Collins. I just love her. I think she's the best. She's so sassy and she really veers between being like, I'm mega confident, I love myself, and being like, oh, I need a boyfriend, I'm so sad. Like, there's no in between. I like how crazy she is, basically. So,
you've seen her on Celebrities Go Dating?
Yes, and that's kind of changed my opinion of her because she's been really mean on that. Like, okay. She stood up the guy to go to Paris. That was so mean. So I'm going off her a bit now, but like 2 years ago, and when she was in TOWIE, I was obsessed with her.
So as community officer, what would you say your biggest achievement has been so far?
I'd say my biggest achievement / my only achievement has been the living wage, the university living wage. When I ran, that was always like my biggest manifesto point. I tried to get stuck in on it on like my first week in role. And to be honest, I was pretty surprised that the university ended up paying it. But organising that protest and like collaborating with all the unions and stuff, that's probably been my biggest achievement.
And when you first heard that you got the role, what was your reaction?
You can actually listen to it on the recording from the elections night last year. It was really embarrassing. I was basically really nervous, so I ended up getting really drunk. And so when I won, obviously disbelief and shock, and then I had to go and do a speech on stage, so I kind of like nearly fell over on the way there. And then my speech was literally just me standing there being like, wow, I can't believe it. Thanks. It just made no sense. But I think shock, because all of my friends were like, we think you've lost it, Ellie. I mean, don't get your hopes up. So when I had actually won, just massive shock.
Was it an Oscar kind of thanks that you gave? Did you mention your mom, your dad?
Oh, definitely not. I think I said, oh, I'm really sorry to my boyfriend because I haven't spoken to him in about 2 weeks. Because I was so stressed out about campaigning. He'd be like, oh, do you want to hang out? And I was like, not now. I've got to campaign. And I thanked my friend Jemima, who was like my campaigns manager, because she was more in it to win it than I was. She was getting up at like 8 o'clock every day and campaigning till like 12 o'clock at night. So she did it, really.
As an SU officer, what advice would you give to potential candidates?
I know, I'm so excited about it. I'm also the chair of elections committee, so I'm very invested in elections. But I think the advice I would give is definitely make a video, because everyone's just into videos nowadays. And also just speak to as many people face-to-face as you can. Like, sharing on Facebook and getting people to change their profile picture and stuff is all well and good, but the people that will vote for you is that actually like one-to-one conversations that you have with people. So I think that's really important.
What do you hope your legacy will be?
Well, I'm trying to get a uni minibus, which is quite random. So I might be halfway doing that, and then I'll just chuck like a big file on the minibus into the next community officer's lap. So hopefully if I don't start that up, then they'll be able to do that. So that would just be like a minibus that would be rentable to societies and could take people home from the library. Perfect for when it's snowing and the buses are all cancelled.
Let's have some more music. We're going to listen to a second track now. Could you tell me a bit about the music and why it's on the list?
Yeah, so when I was younger, my two favourite artists were Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash. And I was sat there for like 40 minutes trying to decide which one I should do a song for, because 5 isn't that many choices. So I just was a bit clever and settled on the one song where they're both together.
This is Girl from the North Country by Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash.
If you're travelling to the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the golden line, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. See for me that her hair's hanging long. It curls and falls all down her breast. See for me that her hair's hanging long. That's the way I remember her best. If you go where the snowflakes fall, when the rivers freeze and summer ends, please see for me if she's wearing a coat so warm to keep her from the howling wind. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me, the one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to the one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine.
So that was Girl from the North Country by Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash. A little switch of tune here, we're going to talk about books. Ellie, are you much of a reader?
I am actually. So my degree was in English, so I had to read minimum 2 novels a week.
A week?
Yeah, last year. It was very distressing. But so yeah, I do love reading, more so now that I don't have to be forced to read. Like now I can actually read for fun, which is nice.
So now that you're reading for leisure rather than uni work, what is one book that you would bring to this zombie apocalypse?
So I chose the book Stoner by John Williams. I know it's disappointing, but it's actually nothing to do with drugs and the name's quite misleading. Just because it's my favourite book ever, it's really sad as well. So I think if I was in Trent Building feeling really sorry for myself about zombies, I could probably just read it and have a good cry. It's about a teacher and it's kind of just a really long story of his life, but he's got quite a sad life. I'd very much recommend it to anyone.
And is it an autobiography or a novel?
It's a novel, but it's one of those weird underground ones where the guy wrote it in the 60s and then no one knew about it for about 40 years. And then suddenly in like 2013, it resurfaced and got really big again and loads of people read it and it was in loads of papers and stuff. So it's quite interesting. It's like a late success.
We're now going to listen to your third track, Ellie. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so this is like my going to school and college track because I felt really weird putting this together. So I've tried to like split it up into sections. So this song reminds me of all my friends back home because we just went through a really weird phase at every party. Someone would put it on and we'd just all go crazy and like everyone would run to the dance floor. So, yeah.
And this is Baby I'm Yours by Breakbot.
But I was led astray the day you walked away. You were the clock that was ticking in my heart. Changed my state of mind. When love's so hard to find. Your feelings changed like the weather. Went from gray to gray. All that I've been paying. How can I go on?
Ellie, you said that that was a song from your childhood. I was just wondering how your relationship with music has changed from then and now.
So, yeah, when I say childhood, I mean like when I was 16/17. Okay. So I wasn't that cool when I was really little listening to that. It definitely has changed, though. I think when I was younger, I used to love listening to like Bob Dylan and Simon and Garfunkel and thinking I was really interesting because I was like 13 and listening to really old music. All of those songs remind me of like going to college on the bus and like looking out the window, the rain with my headphones on, being really emotional.
And pretending to be a music video. We've all done it.
I'm thinking I was so cool because I was listening to Bob Dylan. I think now my music taste is definitely like more basic. Like I love a good cheesy track. I really love ABBA. Like it's definitely got less cool as I've grown up, if that makes sense. But yeah, I do listen to music quite a lot, but I'm too stingy to pay for Spotify Premium, so I still have to listen to all the adverts in it. I think a lot of my music taste is what my dad liked and what he listened to when I was growing up. It's probably the same with everyone, because it kind of forms you as a person when you're in your dad's car or whatever and they're listening to music, and then you end up liking all the same people. So that's why I like a lot of like old white men. And country music.
So when you were growing up, how did you listen to music? Was it through a Walkman or an iPod? Tell me a little bit about that.
I had like one of those Walkman things with this when you put the CD in, but it would always jam, and I remember like listening to it under my duvet after Lights Out, being like, gotta listen to this wicked CD a bit before my mum finds me. So I used to do that, and then also we had like a big phase of when me and all my friends would make each other mixtapes, but they were on a CD, and then we would just listen to those, which is quite sweet. I found one the other day and it was such a throwback. So yeah, and then just I had an iPod Classic and had loads and loads of songs on there, and my free Spotify account.
And your free Spotify account. It's time to listen to some more music. Tell us about your next track.
So this is the song that was in my campaign video when I was running for community officer. It's quite sad. It actually got taken off Facebook for copyright of the song. So this year, loads of people were like, I want to see the video. And it's been deleted, obviously, by Kanye himself. But yeah, this song literally hypes me up so much because it reminds me of campaign period. Whenever I hear it and I'm in a club or something, I'm really transported back to that time and I start getting really sweaty and nervous, like, gotta get people to vote for me. So yeah, it reminds me so much of that time.
Kingdom, but watching you. bring home. You see a black man with a white woman at the top floor, they gon' come to kill King Kong. Middle America packed in, can't they see me in my black skin? Number one question they asking, fuck every question you asking. If I don't get ran at my Catholics, it comes to conservative Baptists, claiming I'm overreacting like the black kids in Chirac, bitch. 4 in the morning, and I'm zoning, they say I'm possessed. It's the omen, I keep it 300, like the Romans, 300 bitches. We're the Trojans, baby, we living in the moment. I've been a menace for the longest, but I ain't finished. I'm devoted, and you know it, and you know it. So follow me, y'all, cause this shit about to go. I'm doing 500, I'm out of control. But there's nowhere to go, and there's no way to slow. If I knew what I knew in the past, I would have been like that on your ass. And I'm zoning, they say I'm possessed. It's an omen, I keep it 300, like the Romans, 300 bitches. We're the Trojans, baby, we living in the moment. I've been a menace for the longest, but I ain't finished. I'm devoted, and you know it, and you know it. Stop all that coon shit, early morning cartoon shit. This is that goon shit, fuck up your whole afternoon shit. I'm aware I'm a wolf, soon as the moon hit. I'm aware I'm a king. Back at the tomb, bitch. Back at the room, bitch. Stop all that coon shit. These niggas ain't doing shit. Them niggas ain't doing shit. Come on, homie, what happened? You niggas ain't breathing, you gasping. These niggas ain't ready for action. Ready for action. Action. In the morning, and I'm zoning, I think I'm possessed. It's an omen, I keep it 300, like the Romans, 300 bitches. We're the Trojans, baby, we living in the moment. I've been a menace for the longest, but I ain't finished. I'm devoted, and you know it, and you know it. So follow me, y'all, cause this shit about to go. I'm doing 500, I'm out of control. But there's nowhere to go, and there's no way to slow. If I knew what I knew in the past, I would have been blacked out on your ass. God.
That was Black Skinhead by Kanye West. Ellie, you mentioned that growing up, much of your music choice was determined by what your parents were listening to. I was just wondering, how much of an influence do your parents have on you now?
Well, I feel like I have to make my dad sound really good because he's definitely listening and he's been texting me loads. I think my dad has been quite a big influence on me politically. He was like, you have to put that Labour song in, things will only get better. Tony Blair's campaign song, which I haven't, sorry. But he's very much like, loves Labour, bit of a Blairite, but he's very like politically engaged. I think that's rubbed off me loads. My mum has influenced me because she's really sassy. She's Thai. So my dad's English and my mum's Thai. But she basically came over, couldn't speak English at all, kind of like built herself up and got herself jobs in England. And she's just really sick, basically. So she's got a really good work ethic and she's quite driven.
Have you ever been to Thailand before?
Yeah, I go like every other year pretty much, but I can't speak Thai, which is quite embarrassing. I went travelling with my friend, like without my mum, and they just like mugged me off loads. You know when you go to foreign countries and they try like get loads of money out of you, and I was like, hey, I'm half Thai, but
I'm one of you
no
guys.
One cares.
So would you consider yourself to be closer in personality to your mum, your dad, or a mixture of them both?
Definitely my dad. I'm trying to think why. I don't know why. I think it's because all my family are always like, you're so similar to your dad, that it just kind of gets stuck in your head. But now I think about it, I'm like, why is that? I think it's just because we're both political. We both like reading and stuff. My mum loves reading like Hello magazine. But I mean, got a bit of her in me as well, I think.
We're going to talk to you now about your second book that you bring to this zombie apocalypse. Tell me a little bit about that.
So the second book's quite far from Hello magazine. The Female Eunuch by Germaine Greer. Basically, I haven't even read this yet, but I've tried to start reading it like 7 times because everyone keeps saying that it's one of the pinnacles of feminist literature. And I'm quite a big feminist, so I'm like, need to read that. And but it's just very dry. But I think if I was stuck in the Trent Building for an indeterminate amount of time, I'd probably have to read it because I'd have nothing else to do. So that's why I put it on the list.
I think in between sessions of getting lost in the maze that is Trent Building, fighting off zombies and trying to fight for your survival, I think you might have time finally to, eighth time lucky, finish the female eunuch. You said that you're a feminist. How do you think that came about and what inspired you?
It actually inspired me by another book, which I should have put as one of my choices, but it's a bit contentious now. I read Catelyn Moran, How to Be a Woman, when I was like 16, and I honestly just, I finished it and dropped the book on the floor and was like, I'm a feminist now. But apparently she's quite contentious now and has said some dodgy, like, white feminism things. So I was like, probably shouldn't put it as one of my choices. But definitely after reading that book when I was at school, I then wrote like a piece on feminism for our school newspaper and had loads of boys email me being like, this is terrible afterwards.
Ellie, for your fifth and final song, what have you gone for?
I've gone for This Is The Day by The, which is quite a confusing name for a band. But it's basically my favourite song ever. My friend at school showed it to me. And it really reminds me of, basically, before I went to Nottingham, I went to a different university called Royal Holloway, and I hated it so much. But I had to stick it out for a year there because I couldn't really afford to like drop out and then go somewhere else. But I listened to this song all the time and it really cheered me up. It's a very uplifting song. It's very much the message is like, things will get better.
That was This Is The Day by The. Ellie, you're in a zombie apocalypse. We're giving you the opportunity to have one luxury item with you. What would that be?
So I've picked a Scrabble set. I just really love Scrabble at the moment. I've got into a weird stage where me and my boyfriend play Scrabble with each other like every night. And I thought that if I was really bored in the Trent building, I could just get really drunk and play myself. So it's quite entertaining, takes up time. Wouldn't have a phone, so I wouldn't be able to play Words with Friends.
Having played Scrabble in a few different ways beforehand, would you need a dictionary? I know there's a lot of contention about whether you can just go through the dictionary and look up words or whether it has to be a word that you know. How would you want to play?
Well, if it was contentious, I'd be arguing myself. But my boyfriend always does this. He'll put a word together that's like XOXZ, and he'll be like, it's definitely a word. It's like a South African stone. And I'll be like, oh, God, no, it's not. So I'm very much a stickler for if I haven't heard of it, then it's not a word.
Ellie, we're giving you one bottomless drink. What would that be?
I've picked a mojito, and there isn't really like a deep answer behind it. I just love mojitos. They're delicious.
Finally, Ellie, we're going to give you one weapon of choice to fight against the zombies. What would you choose and why?
A mojito again. I could just give them loads of mojitos and we'd all get a bit of piss together, and I'm sure we'd all be friends. So
you do wonder what would happen to a zombie actually after a glass or two. Maybe they're just misunderstood. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Ellie. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yes, I have. Thank you for interviewing me.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week keeping tracks with a new guest. Find all our guests on Twitter and on our social media accounts. Again, Ellie, thank you very much. I've been Finn Leslaw, and this is Keeping Tracks.